Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. What a blessing it is. In Christ, all is well. Praise the Lord for that one. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be reading verse 37 down to actually chapter 11, verse 2. And so the end of chapter 10, beginning of chapter 11, actually the message is going to include both chapter 10 and chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews. It's a powerful book of the Bible. But Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to be reading starting in verse 37. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you this morning, again, we first of all thank you, Lord, for this another opportunity just to be in church, for all that have come through the doors of this church today, Father. And I just pray you know exactly what's taken place in their lives. I pray, God, for all of us that this would be our place of refuge and we would sense your presence in this place and hear exactly what you have for us individually and for us as a church body. I just pray, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. The book of Hebrews is a powerful, powerful book of the New Testament. The book of Hebrews, if you'll study through it and read the book of Hebrews, you'll find that it actually is the main book that connects the Old Testament with the New Testament. And you'll see throughout the book of Hebrews, it's talking about a better covenant, a better way, a new and living way through the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of different things as you go through that. But it helps us to understand the purpose of the Old Testament. It helps us understand the purpose. And there, God had a purpose, but his purpose was, he always had in mind to prepare humanity for the coming of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who would usher in the New Testament church age. And so it helps us to understand the purpose of the old to bring us to the new. And a couple of verses here, there in chapter 10, look at verse 9 and 10 as we kind of lay this foundation here. The Bible says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. No more blood sacrifices, no more sacrifices as we find in the law. But Jesus Christ was the end, and he was what it was all pointing to. And so through him, the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Now look down to verse 19, the very same chapter there, chapter 10. It says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Now only the priest, the high priest could enter into the holies of holies there in the Old Testament in the tabernacle. But now he says that we, the brethren, can enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That means that through Jesus Christ, we have the priesthood of all believers, which is a blessing when you understand that, because that means if you're saved here this morning, you have access to God on your own. You don't need anyone else. But you can actually, through prayer, as we heard the song, the message in song earlier, through the tool of prayer, then we have access to an almighty creator God. What a blessing. The priesthood of all believers. He says, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, which is to say his flesh, Jesus Christ. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. full assurance of faith. In the New Testament, in chapter 10, he says it's us. It's talking about us that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. After Jesus came and paid our sin debt on Calvary's cross, after Jesus came and brought in this new and living way, it's our faith. In chapter 11, we find this is the Hebrews Hall of Faith, if you will. This is presenting to us all the Old Testament saints that did a great work for God. And throughout in chapter 11, it talks about the faith of the Old Testament saints. In chapter 11, in verse 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God." Verse 5, it says, "By faith Enoch was translated." These are Old Testament. And if you go down to verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet not seen as yet." Verse 8, "By faith Abraham." And we could go on down and he lists all these Old Testament saints. If you look in verse 39 of chapter 11, it says this, all these Old Testament believers, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They didn't live in a place where the promise was the coming of the Messiah. They died before he came. But yet, by faith, they were able to see him coming. They was able to know that he would come. So here, the message this morning, and what I want you to see out of the book of Hebrews, especially with the verses that we've just read, we'll go over those in just a minute, the key to both, the key to humanity from the very beginning of creation was faith. It was key to Adam, it was key to Eve, it was key to all the Old Testament believers, it's key to all the New Testament believers in the day in which Christ walked on the face of the earth during the apostolic age, during this New Testament church age. Faith has been the key from day one, from the day of creation. Amen. Faith has always been God's message to mankind, to humanity. Understanding that, if we know that, then faith ought to be very important to us. We ought to understand everything that God would have us to understand concerning faith. So the first thing I want to present to you this morning is, what is faith? Now, we don't need to go to the psychologists, and we don't need to go to the Webster's Dictionary. We don't need to go to all the different places you might go to find the definition of something. We need to go to the very words of God. This chapter 11, verse 1, is the biblical definition of faith. God says it's so important. I want you to fully understand the definition of faith. And so in chapter 11, verse 1, it says this. Now, verse 38 of chapter 10, we read it, said, "The just shall live by faith." Again, putting the emphasis on that. That's how we ought to live our lives. It's so important. Our lives need to be based on our faith. And so now in verse 11, it says, "Now faith is." So are we ready for the definition? Now faith is. God's saying this. Not the Baptist, not this preacher. I'm just reading and preaching what God has preserved for us. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So two things right there. Faith is substance, and faith is evidence. Now, to understand this idea of substance, the substance of things hoped for, the substance is the key there. So what is faith? First of all, it's substance. The definition of the word substance is that of which a thing consists. There's substance there. And so there is substance to faith, meaning it's not just a feeling. Some people say, "Well, I feel like I'm going to heaven." You might not feel that way tomorrow. You might not feel that way after somebody pulls out in front of you. So faith, it's not just a feeling. I want to feel faith. It's not just a feeling. It's a substance. Something that faith consists of.
So if it's not a feeling, now I'm not saying that does not affect your feelings, your emotions, it will. But it's not just a feeling. It does not come by way of emotions. You can come to this altar and you can cry for an hour or two or a day or two, and you can leave here just as lost as you came to the altar. If you're looking for a feeling, if you're wanting something that is going to establish salvation, I think it all has to do with a feeling of faith. Listen, you're not going to get that. That's not what the Bible says. It's something that is possessed. It's substance. Something that I possess. It's what I know. The Bible says it's a substance of things hoped for. It's what I know about fact, the future facts. Biblical hope is future fact. And so it's a substance of something that I know that I possess because I have knowledge and I have no doubt of what is going to take place in the future. Amen. It's substance. It's knowing that when I die, I'm going to heaven. It's faith that helps us to know that. And faith is not just a feeling, because feelings will change, but faith is a substance. It's something that's within me. It's something that I know, that I possess. James would explain some of this. Again, you're not saved by works. And we'll get into that in just a minute, but it's by grace through faith, this idea of faith. And James says this, in James in chapter 2 and verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith. You might say, anybody can say it. Anybody can say, well, I feel it. And so if I feel it, I have it. Yea, a man may say thou hast faith. But James writes, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. Show it to me. Wait, because it's substance. You tell me you have and it's based on feelings. Listen to me. No, show me it. It's substance. Then he says this, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Because it is something that is real. It's something that I possess. And if it's real and I possess it, it's inside of me. It can't help but manifest itself in works. It's still, you're saved by faith. You're not saved by the works. But if you're saved, there will be a manifestation of that faith, which is something that has substance to it. Amen. So, substance, that of which a thing consists. And then the second thing he says about it is evidence. That which tends to prove or disprove something. If you have evidence, it's that which tends to prove or disprove something. So even though I cannot see faith itself, because it's evidence of things not seen. I'm convinced I have it. And only you know whether you have it. Saving faith. If you have saving faith, then you have within you a no-so salvation. It's something that I know that I have, and since I can't tell you exactly what it looks like, I can't tell you exactly even sometimes what it feels like. I can't describe it to you in a way that you can see it. I'm just telling you, faith is something that I have. And the Bible says, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know I have it. It comes by way of God's word. So faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So when I hear the word of God, I know it's true. And because the Word of God tells me that with faith I have everlasting eternal life, I know I have it. I can't see it, but it's substance. I know it's real because it's in me. I possess it. Is that making sense to you? That's what he's revealing to us here. This idea, it's always been about faith. It was about faith from the beginning. It's about faith now. It was faith when Christ came to this earth and people looked to him and they had belief that he was the Messiah. He was the fulfillment of prophecy. And when they heard him speak, there was something inside of them called faith that caused them to believe and to follow him. And they would leave family. They would leave careers because of faith. They would leave all and follow him. That's faith. Now, understanding that, substance and evidence, faith, it takes faith to be saved. You can sit in that pew every Sunday and every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can come in when there's no one else here and sit in the pew. But sitting in the pew, just being in attendance in church, is not going to save anybody. No matter what church it is that you're attending, having your name on the membership roll, somehow getting your name on the membership roll, that is not going to bring to you everlasting life. Chapter 10, verse 37, what we just read. I want you to read this with me. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. That's faith. He that the Bible says shall come, Jesus said, I will come again. And my faith in me says, he's coming again. I have no doubt about that. I possess that faith that tells me that Christ will return. And so he says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. When it's time, he's going to be here. He's not going to mess around. When it's time for him to come, he's going to come. He's going to rapture the church. And then it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall not have no pleasure in him. God's not having any pleasure in them that say they have faith, but then draw back and live as though they don't have faith. But verse 39 says this, but we are not of them who draw back, because we have genuine faith, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. You can't stop believing if you have faith. I've had people tell me, well, I decided I didn't want it, so I gave it back. Listen to me. If you ever had it, you'd never want to give it back. If you ever truly knew that hell was a real place and that all who die without Christ are going to spend eternity in that place, if you truly have faith enough to believe in hell, if you had salvation, you would never want to give it back. If you understood the love of God and you understood what heaven's going to be like, you understood everything about Jesus coming and paid your sin debt and offered to you a free gift of everlasting life, if you would just simply by faith believe. If you truly believe that, that has not changed. That will never change. And you will never want to stop believing that. Those that turn back, really, if they turn back unto perdition to a life of sin, if they turn back, then they did not have that saving faith. They just had a feeling of faith. They had a misguided idea of faith. But if you truly have faith, you cannot give it back. If you truly believe, you'll never not believe. Now, you might block it out. And I'm not saying you can't go back into sin. You can block it out. And you can let the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life take back over your life again if you turn it over. But you're fighting it because it's in you. And the conviction is there. The chastisement is there. And you're fighting it and you're trying to put it back because of whatever reason that you have in your heart and mind that Satan's blinded you to. But if it's there, if you have faith, you cannot lose faith. Why? Because it's everlasting life. Wow. For by grace are you saved. God's grace saves us.
God's grace, His mercy, His love for you. But it can only be received by faith. For by grace are you saved through this idea of faith. You have to believe in God and His grace. If a person does not believe in the Creator God, he cannot be saved. If a person does not believe in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he cannot be saved. If a person does not understand, does not believe in the things of the Word of God, if he does not believe that, listen to me, no matter how much you pray for that person, no matter how many times they bow their head and say some words, if they do not believe, they cannot have saving faith. I had a priest, a retired priest. I was knocking on doors, and I come upon his house. And he opened the door, and he said, "Hi." And I said, "My name is Pastor Tidd. I'm from Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm just in the area today talking to people and finding out a little bit about them." And he said, "Well, I'm a retired priest." And so that already gave me a lot of information, the information I understood where he was coming from. And I said this, I said, "If your eyes were to close in death today, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven?" And this priest had tears coming to his eyes. He started actually getting emotional. He said, "No." And I said, "Do you know that you can know that?" And he says, "The church doesn't teach that." And I said, "No matter what the church teaches," I said, "this is the Bible. This is the very words of God. And if you believe what the Bible says, then you can have saving faith. If you put your faith in not what the church says, you don't put your faith in what a man says, but if you read the Word of God and look to what the Bible says, if you put your faith in what God says and believe this, you can know that you have everlasting life." Amen. And he never would. He just said, "That's not what the church teaches. Church is wrong if it doesn't teach that, because that's exactly what the Bible teaches." It takes faith to be saved. Now that it takes faith is the key to pleasing God. Look in chapter 11 and verse 2. Our text, it says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Verse 6 says this, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." That's faith. In verse 39, chapter 11, verse 39, "And these all, having obtained a good report, past, present, and future," it's faith that enables a person to be saved. "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but they received the promise of salvation." They understood that they were of the children of God. They understood that God was real. And it was by faith that they obtained a good report with God. Our degree of faith reveals who we really are and where we stand with God. I remember back in school, and that's been a long time ago, but I remember every 6 weeks we had a report card. And when the report card came, they would actually hand it out to the students. I don't even know how they do that anymore, but they might do the same thing, but it's every 6 weeks. And the teacher in the class would give you the report card, and in the report card it had all the different classes that you had, and then over it would show what grade you had in that class. And then you were required to take that home and show that to your parents so that they might have an accurate report of how you were doing in each one of those classes. And they were required to sign that report card. And then you
were required to bring it back signed, stating that your parents now have had a report given to them concerning how you're doing in each one of your classes. Anybody else remember? Is that how they still do it today? I don't even know. As a 7-8-year-old boy, there was a couple reports there that I didn't quite like. And more than that, I knew that Dad wouldn't quite like. And it was interesting how some of them, when you'd get that failure sign on there, known as an F, it was easy to turn that F into a B. And some of them made it really easy by how they would put that on there. And I remember being able to try to fix my report card. And I thought I did a pretty good job at fixing the report card. And I took it home, and Mom and Dad, I think it actually, they saw that and they were happy. That, how did you get that grade in that class? But what I didn't realize is when I took it back with their signature, the teacher was going to look at it. And my parents got a call from the teacher and said, the report that you thought that you got from your son was not as accurate as what it was given. That was not a B on that that you might thought was B. That was a failure in that class. Now listen to me. I don't know if anybody else did that or not. I don't know. You don't have to confess to me right now, but the altar will be open later on. If it's been all these years and you've been under conviction, you got by with it somehow or another. It didn't seem like I would ever get by with anything. I was always getting caught. Amen. But I learned that I could not do that because they had a system that I could not beat as a 7-8-year-old boy. And so if I was going to have my dad pleased with me, I was going to have to put in the work to get a passing grade. Because it was an accurate report of how I was doing. For by it, faith, elders obtained a good report. Very same thing. Our degree of faith reveals who we really are in our walk with God. Starting with salvation. And then where we're at in our spiritual maturity. Are we still just babes in Christ? Or are we maturing as God would have us to mature? The way you mature is understanding more of the Word of God and applying it to your life. And with that understanding of the Word of God comes more mature faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. God's looking at a report that you can't alter. And who we are, it has to do with our level and degree of faith. One last thing before we quit here this morning. Look in chapter 11. In verse 13, when it's talking about all those who had lived by faith and accomplished all these things by faith, I love what it says in verse 13. These all died in faith. It's how we should desire to leave this world. The Bible says it's appointed a man wants to die. If the Lord does not rapture the church by the time that my body gives up, I'm going to face a physical death, and so will you. The Old Testament saints didn't get to experience the things that God promised would come. But look what it says about them. Verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They didn't receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, knowing that it was coming. They didn't receive. They didn't have a chance to look at the life of Jesus Christ as he walked on this planet Earth. We can look back and we can view that. We can have the history that reveals that. They didn't get to see the New Testament church that God had planned for this New Testament church age that we've been in now for some 2,000 years. They didn't get to see those things. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Having seen them afar and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. They seen them afar off. That means in their hearts and minds. It has substance. Their faith, because of the promises of God, they saw. They, in their mind, they envisioned Christ walking on this planet Earth. The Messiah, the very Son of God. They envisioned all the things that they had been promised by God, because why? It was inside of them. They had no doubt that it was going to come. Why? They had faith. And faith does away with doubt. Faith helps you to see that which you cannot see with the naked eye, but you know it's there. You know it's coming because it was promised to you by a God who cannot lie. It's in me. You can't take that from me. No matter what the world does, no matter what the world teaches, no matter what the world says, listen to me, my faith is in me. I cannot stop believing. It's in me. And we're persuaded of them. They had no doubts. They were persuaded. They knew it to be true. And embraced them. If you're embracing it, then you are saying, I'm going to live accordingly. You're here in church today. You're here in this Sunday morning worship service. Why? Because you believe it's the Lord's day. You believe it's God's will for you to be in church. You believe that God is going to preach. God is going to work through the preaching of his word today. You believe that the Holy Spirit of God can meet with your spirit and reveal things to you. Listen to me. That's why you're here. You're embracing the truths of God's word. You're embracing that by faith, that church is where you need to be on Sunday. Because that's what the Bible teaches. So I'm going to live accordingly. And they confessed. They were strangers in this world. There's never been a time in America where Christians were truly strangers in America like today. Your Christian beliefs, your fundamental beliefs in this Bible makes you a stranger, even in America. Your belief that there is a God makes you a stranger. You believe in creation other than evolution makes you a stranger. Your belief that God has preserved his word for us, every word for us to know and understand the very mind of God makes you a stranger. Your belief that you need to be in church on Sunday makes you a stranger in America. That's a sad thing, but it's true. And the only thing that's going to keep you living as God would have you to live in the midst of a very confused world is faith. Is faith. When my eyes close in death, I want to be excited about what's next. For the believer, you can know to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. On my deathbed, I want to be excited about heaven. I want to be able to see what heaven's going to be like in my mind, my vision, my heart, my mind. I want to be able to think about seeing Jesus face to face. I want to be able to think about seeing my parents and my brothers and sisters that have gone on before me. Faith is what enables that. If we live by faith,
Listen, if you continue to live by faith, you will die in faith. And there's no better way to leave this world than in faith. What kind of faith do you have? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed.